Betwixt the Dark and the Light, an audition narrated by Sam Rosenthal. Oh, hell no. First, he saw his dead body lying on the gurney. Not the white light people hear about from most near-death experiences. He didn't expect the light, not with his criminal resume. Next, he saw the onlookers, family members of the murdered, some crying, some sobbing, some fist-pumping the air. And then he saw Reagan. And then he saw Jesse J. They were floating right next to him near the ceiling. Reagan spoke first. Not in the traditional way, but Bulldog could hear Ray in his head, clearly and loud.
"We've been waiting for you, buddy," Reagan said.
"Am I dead now?" Bulldog asked. "Am I a ghost?"
"Hells yeah," Jesse J chimed in. "You'll see a darkness. It might be a spot on the floor or the ceiling. You'll feel pulled towards it. Resist. Stay with us. We have more fun planned."
He did see a dark spot on the floor next to his body. The medical staff walked right over it, but they weren't falling in. It was meant only for him. Shaped like a grave, it looked like it had no bottom, only a deep, soul-swallowing blackness. It was pulling him. An empty feeling swelled within when he looked at it. Despair. Darkness. Every horrible thing he'd ever done was down there. He started to drift toward it.
"Take my hand," Jesse J suggested.
Reagan offered his hand, too. At first, Bulldog's hand just passed right through theirs. But then, the electric connected. Like a magnet. His downward drift stopped. After a few minutes, the dark spot faded away. A gateway closed. I am the universe. George sat at home thinking. He looked at Lucifer, whom he had imbued with all knowledge.
"What's next?" he asked.
"The Ten Commandments. They need a relook. Courthouses in many states will have plaques and statues about them. You should fix them," Lucifer said.
"I barely remember that, Moses and the burning bush." "He needed them, and I gave them. They were just off the top of my head at the time. I don't even remember what they are. It was thousands of years ago."
Lucifer knew and told him one by one.
"Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
"I like that one. They haven't been outside the universe like I have, so all good with that one."
"Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images," Lucifer recited.
"I don't even know what that one means," George said. "I said that?"
"I guess you did. I wasn't around," Lucifer replied.
"Strike that one. What's next?" George asked.
"Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," Lucifer recited.
"Jesus Christ," George said. "I've broken that one myself. Strike it. What's next?"
Lucifer paused.
"Come on, man," George said.
"Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," Lucifer recited.
"You mean like Chick-fil-A? It always pisses me off they aren't open on Sundays. Good Lord, give a little."
"Strike."
"Shall I keep going?" Lucifer asked.
"Hell yeah. I want to hear all of them. You mean to tell me that thousands of years later, people are still living by my Moses rules?"
Witch Kebab. The sisters were mid-chant, while Scortessa stirred the noxious, steaming liquid in the pot. Susan was the first to notice Kulo walking toward them across the yard. She stopped chanting and glared at him.
"What a fine specimen of male you are. I hope your brain is as developed as your body," she said.
"Thank you. You're kind of hot, too, and I'm going to talk to you about that. But my looks are not what you need to worry about right now," Kulo replied. "What you need to do is quit creating this horrible stink and be respectful of your new neighbor, Mr. Bahama." Mr. Bahama is a very influential figure in this town and entertains many important guests. "We can't have this stink contaminating the whole neighborhood."
"Yeah," someone yelled. "It's awful."
Other neighbors were watching the scene unfold from their second-story windows as well.
"You're trespassing," Scortessa cried.
"I don't want this first meeting to turn negative," Kulo replied. "In fact, I was about to offer one of you a job. Surely you can understand Mr. Bahama's concerns. Anyway, I'm not asking. I'm telling you to knock off with this stink you're cooking up."
"What kind of job?" Scortessa asked.
"Not for you, Chancha. For her," Kulo replied, gesturing at Susan.
I already have a job, Susan said as she started chanting a spell. Hot red fire and foul as smoke. One chance beneath brings later choke. Kelwinkle gasped.
Susan, no!
Susan winked at Kelwinkle.
Too late.
Badass and Apocalypse.
Huh. I know you. Not sure how, though, bro. What high school did you go to?
Apocalypse asked. I didn't. I was homeschooled. At least until I flunked out, Badass replied.
What? Dude, you flunked out of homeschool? Serious? How does that work?
I don't know, man. I made it through 10th grade, though.
That's fucked up.
You never met my mom, dude.
What? Your mom failed you?
No, it doesn't work that way, but still, I don't know anything about how homeschool works. I went to Central.
What's your name, anyway? They call me Apocalypse.
Apocalypse? That's your name, really? You're one of those zombie freaks or something?
Heh, nope.
Your parents named you that?
Nope.
Are you one of those doomsday guys, then? Like year 2000 and December 21st is the end of the world and all that?
Nope.
Super religious, then? Waiting for the return of Jesus and the rapture?
Why don't I just tell you so you'll quit asking?
Okay.
Okay. For as long as I can remember, one of my balls was much bigger than the other. I mean, much, much bigger. I didn't know it wasn't normal. When I finally got laid after high school, when she saw them, she laughed.
Badass started to chuckle himself.
Shut up, or I'm not going to tell you.
Sorry.
Anyway, I got embarrassed and asked what she was laughing at. But that's when she said that it looked to her like, well, she said like,
Apocalypse picked at his fingernails.
Like the moon had crashed into the sun and stuck there. And then she said that would cause the apocalypse. She almost died laughing. From then on, she called me Apocalypse. What can I say? It stuck. I hated it at first, but now I kind of liked it.
Dude,
Badass sympathized.
Anyway, they call me Badass.
Why do they call you Badass? You a tough guy or something?
Badass lifted one cheek slightly off the chair and answered the question with a roar.
I should have known. Oh, man, that reeks.
Apocalypse turned his face away. Badass chuckled.